coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Well, hello, everybody. Our guest in this segment is the amazing David Oates. He is the founder of Reverse Speech. We will be talking about a very thick topic here tonight. One is an audio engineer that is near and dear to my heart. As many of you know, I do a lot of music. I make a lot of music. I make a lot of binaural beat and especially experimental music. And one of the many things that I have done over the years is incorporate reverse recording into my work and into my art. And here's a sample of that. And now you'll hear the same thing forward in just a second. And I play this for a very specific reason, because as many of you know, this show is here to demystify things. And so many people, especially since the satanic panic in the 80s that I grew up with rock and roll, things like that, saying, you know, start to smoke marijuana is embedded backwards in Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. You know, start to, you know, My Sweet Satan is embedded backward and, you know, Stairway to Heaven. And the thing is, if you reverse a lot of speech, you can get some wild things, and you can, that whole album that I did there, Oracle of the Nimblebus, was a spoken word poetry album with spoken word poetry and other music played backward behind it. So if you reversed the album, you got a whole new album of new poetry and new music. That is not what the reverse speech that we are talking about tonight with David Oates is, folks. He has proprietary software. He has developed this over 40 years of research. And when I first heard about your work, Mr. Oates, I was gobsmacked. That's the only word. To know that there are many cases of literal hidden messages in people's real-time speech. This isn't like something that's put in post-production. This isn't something that's done in a recording studio. It's done as world leaders are giving speeches, things like that. And it's fascinating. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Once again, your work is fascinating to me. And the idea of reverse speech being embedded in real time. How did you first come to this field of study to begin with, Mr. Oates?
Oh, well, I started from the old messages in rock and roll days. So I heard about if you play records backwards, you can hear satanic messages.
Yeah.
And so that's how I started. The first thing I ever played backwards was Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. You know, which is purported to contain satanic messages, and I remember the very first thing I heard was on Stairway to Heaven, and I go, oh my, I can hear that. And I'm a bit of an audio buff. I'm a ham radio operator, been around audio all my life, and I could tell there was something genuine to this. So then I spent a few months looking at music, playing my whole record album backwards. They all said it was satanic messages, but I found a whole bunch of other stuff that wasn't satanic, you know, praising God and political stuff. And I'm trying to get my cat
That's
away
okay,
from my camera.
It is okay, my friend. We do not mind fur baby love on this show.
then one day I accidentally stumbled across it in normal human speech. And actually, let me play you the very first
please.
I ever found in speech. And look, it's one thing to hear it in music. It's a bit of an odd. To tea, you know, yeah, play that backwards, you know, you mm-hmm. can hear him say smoke marijuana, but to suddenly hear it in speech, it's like, wow. And I'm chatting while I'm pulling it up.
No worries. Yeah, it is fascinating to me, the fact that it's embedded in real time, that it's there. And I did, once again, it's something I have incorporated into my music regularly for the last 25 years, almost is reverse recording. So I'm very attuned to it, and it's interesting to hear some of the natural speech patterns that you pick up that when reversed say something totally different.
Yeah. All right. So here's the first one I ever found in speech, not music, speech. You'll all recognize this famous sound clip.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And backwards it says, absolutely, man will spacewalk.
Can I ever spacewalk?
You got that?
Wow.
Yeah, that was my reaction too when I heard it. I go, wow, what on earth is this? You know, it's one thing to hear it in speech, but to suddenly hear it in music is suddenly hear it in speech is a whole new ball game altogether. And then right after I found it in the moonwalk, I found it in the JFK assassination. Poetry. Oh. So here's a live commentary of JFK's assassination.
Police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade route. Stand by, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound.
And backwards he says, it's shot bad. Hold it. Try and look up. Here it is backwards. And again. Well, that just stunned me when I heard that. I'm going, see, well, that's three sentences all stuck together. He shot bad, hold it.
Yeah.
Try and look. So thoughts the guy would have had at the time. You know, JFK is shot. Stop everything. He's looking around, looking for where, for what's going on. And that was just a stunning thing to me.
Well,
and
And that is a major moment. Both of those are major moments in history, and we'll get into the importance of that in just a second. Let's hear one more clip, and we'll get into a couple questions here, David.
All right. Let me play you one from a casual conversation. Okay, here we go. This is someone just chatting in general.
This is just one of many, many lifetimes where we are here to develop the soul, basically. And when that is achieved, the soul will ascend.
And backwards he says, I love each day.
I love each day.
I love each day. I love each day.
Nice and clear. And let me run the whole drop backwards, and you'll hear how it just jumps out of the gibberish. So we're going to run the whole track backwards. You hear that just jump out of the gibberish?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's distinct from the rest of it. And that was one of the things that I wanted to get into was that because as someone who's done multiple hours, easily a good 100 hours of reverse recording in my life, just in my music, things like that. You get used to these dragging sounds. You get used to them and things like that. And when something pops out, and I can't say that I have had, and in my hundreds of hours of reverse recording, David, I cannot say that I've had, even with spoken word and things like that, any messages or anything else jump out in that kind of way. Some of the clips that you have, the three that you've just shown us back to back, those are distinct sounds. Those are things that just about guaranteed, if I threw them into a transcription software, would be picked up because they are that distinct. And, you know, through your 40 plus years of research into this topic, where do you think the root of this comes from, David?
Oh, well, very important question. Yes, I was asking myself that back when I first started. How did I get it there? I mean, it's all demonic, like the Christians were saying, this is all satanic, but the results I was finding suggest that. I mean, you tapping into people's thoughts, basically. Anyway, so in April of 1987, I wrote my theory. And my theory basically states that language is bilevel, forwards as well as backwards.
Okay.
This is a natural function of the human mind. As the brain is putting the sounds of speech together, it's doing it in such a way that we're saying two messages at once, one forwards and one backwards. So I maintain it's another human sense, previously undiscovered sense, and it is our real self-speaking, conscious, unconscious, and even down to the level of spirit and soul. So it goes down to that sort of depth within the human psyche. But it's a natural form of language. It's all of us are doing it. That's what was happening in music. It's that natural form of language appearing in speech, you know. And
yeah,
it was attributed to Satan because people don't understand. You know, what they don't understand, we tend to demonize, you know. And And my work took all that demonization out of it. It's not Satan at all. It's us.
And that is what I love about your work. That is what I love about your work is that it took this very early concept, this very early idea of, you know, once again, and I don't necessarily think that the words, cause now granted, start to smoke marijuana on Another One Bites the Dust is pretty there. But I don't think that it was words that they put in there intentionally or that they scribbled forward with the intent of it sounding that way backward. You know? Yeah. Now the question comes to bear, of course, did their collective subconscious manifest that into the recording when they put the recording down? And that's, I guess, part of what you're kind of saying is that, you know, our subconscious is telling another story, much like any facial tic when you're lying or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Look, it says, look, another one. Okay. Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, love to smoke marijuana. Look, I don't know whether the Queen smoked pot, but I'm sure they probably did. Everyone.
I bet it was around.
You know, yeah. So to hear it in music is not surprising. It's just a reflection of lifestyles of the singer. You know?
But even to explore the concept of the embedded message in, you know, Stairway to Heaven, the idea of it being a satanic message and things like that. There aren't a whole lot of really long phrases that jump out in that song if you listen to it backward. There's a few words there and something that does sound like Satan inside of there. But it's not like necessarily like the ones that you've just played for us that really jump out.
Right.
You know, it's one that like you could listen to it and you could hear it and you could make it out. But if you let somebody just listen to it prima facie without cueing them, it'd be a different story.
Yeah.
And now, when it comes to, let's start exploring the idea of, once again, the subconscious bringing this to manifest in real time, David. How do you think this comes to be?
How does it come to be?
Yeah, how do you, I mean, in your time of study of this, have you come across any methodology that people may be using, or are people possibly using this as a means to purposefully embed messages, or is it something that is just done cursorily and accidentally?
It's not purposely embedded in speech. I mean, that's impossible to do that. It's happening all the time.
Okay.
Look, in music, yes, some of it's purposely embedded. That's called backmasking, you know. It's where it's done at the recording studio level. It's quite easy to do that. You just slice the track in backwards. But what's happening in speech is not manipulated. It's natural. As I'm talking now, like as I'm talking to you now, I'm giving reverse messages.
The reason I ask that and the reason I ask it in that way is, of course, because a lot of people in many conspiratorial communities, David, say that, you know, these people are trained in the techniques of reverse speech. that world leaders and people from the UN and people looking for the global elite and things like that are trained in the techniques of reverse speech and how to give a speech and embed messages in it in reverse and things like these are literally hypotheses I've heard put out by people. So once again, the fact that we try and demystify this stuff on our show, that's why I want to ask the researcher of researchers on this. Nobody's being trained in how to live embed reverse speech while they speak.
It's not done intentionally. No one's been trained to do it. Let me just squash those rumors on the head now. It is a natural form of language. Everyone's doing it. You're doing it. I'm doing it. Your listeners to the show are doing it. You know, it's just like breathing.
Yeah.
We're all delivering reverse messages.
Now that doesn't necessarily preclude the fact that ego versus id, conscious versus subconscious, that if they know that they are deceiving with the message that they're speaking, that their subconscious isn't saying something while they're speaking forward, you know?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, the unconscious communicates the total truth. And if you're lying forward, you'll get you'll get backward messages to communicate the truth. You'll also get body language signals for those who are expert at it. You know, you can recognize that. The unconscious communicates in a variety of different ways, and, all of which happens outside of our conscious awareness.
Oh, yeah.
And reverse speech is just one of those ways.
Well, precisely. And the idea of our brains are built to operate off of patterns. Uh-huh. We're built to recognize patterns, whether they, and the prime example is babies do not know how to communicate, but they understand a lot of the world around them through facial cue from other people, you know, and through understanding what an angry face looks like. They don't have to hear words to understand somebody's angry. You don't have to hear words to understand somebody's angry. It's a subliminal of our mind that understands the facial tick of somebody to understand, oh wow, that guy's not happy. Like you don't have to hear a single word come out of the person's mouth for that to be emoted, you know. So the idea that our brains, much like whenever I use reverse brainwave frequencies in music, things like that, to affect the way a listener is feeling, you know, because, oh, I'm going to use 19 hertz and that makes you feel like something else is in the room with you or something is watching, you know, and then they go like, wow, that was a really creepy piece of music. Like it made me really uncomfortable. Now, those frequencies are embedded in reverse.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that your brain doesn't decode them and that your brain can't hear them. You know?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. It's a communication process. We're all hearing reversals of everyone else all the time. I maintain that's part of what human intuition is all about. Mm. We are hearing and perceiving on an unconscious level, and we'll get a feeling, oh, I trust that guy, or I don't trust him, or, you know, he's hiding stuff. We'll get a sense. And I maintain that many times we're hearing reverse messages. I've got instances of entire conversations backwards where questions are asked and answers are given, and you'll have this whole unconscious dialogue going on whilst you're chatting forwards consciously. You know, you take the classic story of boy meets girl and they talk about the weather, but we all know what they're really talking about. And unconsciously, you can see that negotiation going back. Do I like this guy? Yes, I like him, you know, etc.
So. That is really interesting to know that two people sitting in the same room are having a conversation that they aren't even physically aware of, you know, and that their brains are totally having a conversation aside from themselves and outside of a perceived reality. And you know, I think that goes to speak to a lot of this, David, that idea of perceived reality. Even, you know, the fact that we are receptors of things, even the fact that we're a solid object is pretty iffy when it comes to science, you know.
Oh, Yeah, when you get to quantum mechanics, quantum physics, all we are is space.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. So the idea that, you know, we're able to hear in different ways, the idea that our brain is picking up signals and even subliminal signals once again in a different way is really interesting. Now, let's get into a few more examples that you have found over the years. What other examples do you have?
Oh, let me move into my media file here.
Please.
And I'll get you some. Okay, just give me 1 second here. I'll tell you what. Well, why don't we play some funny ones on Joe Biden?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, let me see what I've got here. Okay, Joe Biden. Where's the one I'm looking for? I am looking for this one here. All right, this was a couple of years ago, this clip, and he's stuttering and stammering, and like he often does.
So it begins as an average Joe Biden clip.
Absolutely right. So here's the quote.
There's been no indication that's the case at all with regard to, there's a total of
as you can see, he's no idea what to talk about, and he says backwards, "Have I lost it?"
Have I lost it?
I'd say he has lost it.
Wow. That is wild. That's wild. And once again, the work of this is mind-boggling. It's mind-numbing sometimes when you start getting into it, David. How frequently do you search for messages, and how often do you find them in public transmission, public broadcast, things
right,
like that?
Okay. You know, that's a very important question. The frequency of reversals will vary greatly depending on the conversation. If you've got a normal casual act conversation where you've got high rapport between those talking, you can get reversals once every 5 or 10 seconds. They can be that frequent. However, once you get into media broadcasts where the speech is a lot more organized, pre-planned, a lot of it's reading from prepared text, you may only get reversals once every couple of minutes in media. So it can be very frustrating finding them in media. And many times, you know, I'll spend hours at my desk only to find two or three.
Give me just a second. I'm sorry. I had a problem with my headphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. How far did you hear?
I heard most of that. But, It is interesting to see that, once again, world leaders, things like that, these things are snafus that are happening, but it's almost like their subconscious is giving them away, David.
The subconscious
is telling a different story than what the actual story that they're telling out of their mouth is. This frequently happens while they're answering important questions, that kind of stuff. And even the idea that you were saying that, that if people are in a casual course of comfortable conversation, that these things reveal themselves even more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they absolutely do. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I don't have many casual conversations on file to play you examples of them. I tend to work solo with media, with my clients. You know, I run my own therapeutic practice using reverse speech.
Okay.
How I make my living is working with clients.
Let's explore that side of it real quick, because that in and of itself is very interesting. The idea of using reverse speech as a form of therapy and finding things out. Let's get into that a little bit, David. What brought you down that aisle?
Well, I started off in therapy even before I got into reverse speech. I've been a youth worker working with street kids on the streets, and so that was sort of where I naturally took it. But in therapy, it's just absolutely amazing. Here, let me try an example. This is a young lady who came to me. And she had a series of broken relationships. She'd been engaged 4 or 5 times. And she wanted to know, why did her relationships break up all the time? So she's telling me about the last relationship that broke up. So here's the forwards.
the night that it happened, my friend Cheryl was just telling me about, you know, what we see with it, and it just...
She's saying, am I believing this and therefore creating this relationship breakup? And backwards, she says, quite clearly, I've been molested. Listen to this.
I've been molested.
And once again. So I played the reversal, and she broke down in tears. She'd been molested regularly by a family member growing up. She'd never told anyone the secret. She certainly wasn't going to tell me. But the reversals, A, came out revealing this hidden family secret. And this is why her relationship kept on breaking up, because she carried this pain of molestation with her her whole life. And reverse speech enabled her to express that. There's no way she was going to tell me. And the reverse speech enabled her to do it.
Well, and it's interesting because it's almost like a real-time hypnotic session.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's actually a very good way of putting it, yeah. Then I get reversals that tell me what to do with someone, how to work with them. Like, here's a woman who had money problems all her life, talking about her money issues. So listen to this.
She and I need to work this issue out, but it started to bring up all my money fears and stuff. And the thing is if I know I start sourcing fear again, I'm going to go way downhill.
Back what she said, work on my grief.
Work on my grief.
Oh, wow.
Very clear reversal.
Yeah.
That's her unconscious telling me, in order to work with money issues, you've got to work on grief that I'm carrying around with me, because the two are intricately connected.
Yeah.
Now, using regular therapy, it may take you months to get to that. And reverse speech will, in one session, both diagnose a problem, and in many cases, not always, but in many cases, it will give you solutions on how to fix those problems. Like in this one, work on my grief.
Yeah.
And so you're tapping into the great wisdom of the unconscious. And the unconscious knows us very well. It knows why we do the things we do. It knows our little behavioral patterns. And that's what comes out in reverse session work. The reasons why people do what they're doing, and sometimes how to fix it.
Wow. And you know, once again, to see that used in a therapeutic way. Now let's get into, and I don't want to get into too much proprietary, but I am, as you can probably tell from the shot over my shoulder, I'm a little bit of a gearhead, David.
Yes.
I like my electronics. I love technology. I love talking about these things. And the fact that you have written proprietary software to do this reverse speech work in, it's not like, you're sitting there with a dictaphone and a tape player and spinning tapes backwards or something like that, which would be an old school way of doing it. Totally valid. Like, even stretching it. Like, that was one of my favorite things about my Tascam 4-track, was the ease with which that I could not only record something, but reverse it and slow it down, after reversal. And, you know, but, You've written proprietary software to get this done. Let's explore that a little bit and what it took you to get that done.
Well, we hired a programmer in India to do it for us, and we had very specific requirements about what we wanted. We've got two softwares, actually. One is an audio software and one is a video software, and it will play the tape forwards and backwards. It'll slow the speed down and speed it back up again. Plus, it's got a full editing studio, audio editing studio built into the software. It's great because you can write transcripts with it. Excuse me, I got about three cats on my table, and they're all sitting in front of the camera. Just out of the way. So, now I lost my train of thought.
Software. We were talking about software.
Right. So, yeah, so it's a fully comprehensive audio editing software that also analyzes tapes in reverse, plays it forwards and backwards and at very variable speeds. And then we've got the video software that does the same thing with video. Running video backwards is absolutely awesome because you'll when you see the backward lips moving, it mouses out the reversals perfectly.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's stunning. You run videos backwards or watch the lips, it'll take your breath away. It's absolutely stunning to watch. And then you'll see all these body language links as well. Someone might cross their arms if they're angry or something. So the video software absolutely loves it. It adds a whole new dimension to reverse speech, and you actually see that the whole body is working together in a magnificent chorus. The reverse speech will match the body language movements, and it's the unconscious is very alive and very active in the way we communicate. We just don't realize it. We're just not consciously aware of it. You know,
That is really interesting to consider, and you know, I wish that there was some kind of in real time lab work that could be done on this, David, specifically. Yeah. And I guess if you found over time a group or a grouping of people, two or three people who tended to get a good hitting on reversals, something like that, like, you know, maybe you could hook them up to a brainwave monitor while they're having a conversation, something like that, to try to get some sort of data analysis out of it, in that kind of way, to see if there are brainwave spikes in certain brainwaves, theta waves, delta waves, that kind of stuff, when these reversals occur.
Well, we've actually done some initial tests on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, using electroencephalograph machines. And there's rapid activity between the left and right brain hemisphere while a reversal is occurring. Plus the fact different parts of the brain are stimulated depending on the subject matter of the reversal. So if a sexual reversal, you can see that registering in that part of the brain. Look, they're only initial tests that I've done. I've done no further testing for many years, but that's initially what we've done. And I'm sure with more detailed tests, we would certainly see the brain wave responding to reversals.
That is interesting to know that A, you've already considered that and looked into it. B, that you actively have result to that effect is really interesting. And now let's get into a few more reversals, things like that, and what the circumstances behind them were, and what these reversals are leading you to understand about this, David.
All right. Here, let's look at one on Trump. We looked at one on Biden.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Let's.
Here we go.
Let's middle of the road it.
So yeah. I made a nice speech to one big crowd. I said, and it's all over town. Look at all that press. Look at all of them.
Oh, hang on. I lost it. And backwards he says, serve that Lord of the Light.
Serve that Lord of the Light.
Serve that Lord of the Light.
So there you go. So there you have a very positive, upbeat reversal on Trump. Okay? And look, I don't want to get into politics. I'll lose listeners. Trump generally shaped up fairly well. Let me find some more recent ones, like of Trump's nominees. Tom Homan. Here we go. He's been picked as a border czar, and here he is talking about he's going to go after illegals.
Well, why is this so important to you? Because of the tragedies I've seen in my career. I mean, I started as a Borb Joyce in 1984.
Here he says backwards. I aim that crew come in.
Aim that crew come in.
Aim that crew come in. Aim that crew come in.
And that's what he's going to do. He's going to get his crew together and come in and take the illegals away. Okay, so so that's what we call a congruent reversal. Okay, he's stating his aim. Let me see. Who else have I got here recently? I've actually got quite a few. Marco Rubio, where is he? He's been tapped for Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Where is he? Marco Rubio. Well, that's funny. I did him. Here we go. It's under M for Marco, not R for Rubio. Okay. Let's have a look. What can we play on Marco Rubio? All right, here we go. Here's a nice one.
But we can't be involved in all of them. We have to pick the things that are most important to America and to our security.
And it says, honor, love, we make you.
Honor, love, me, make you.
Honor, love, me, make you. Honor, love, me, make you.
You hear that?
Yeah.
So there you go. You have a nice congruent reversal on him. And let me see. Oh, let me just pull some out of my other files here. Here we have a wonderful reversal I found on me right at the very start of my career. This is fascinating. This is way back in 1988. I was asked to come and lecture in Sydney to a group. And here's me saying forwards, look, I've been suddenly thrust into this role where I have people asking me, with people coming to me and asking me to play them backwards.
Been suddenly thrust into this role where I have people coming to me and saying, David, I want to know what's going on inside my head. And I think, bloody hell, you're asking me. All I do is play tape backwards, you know.
Right.
And I'm starting to get it.
And I say, all I do is play takes backwards. Now, when we play that phrase backwards, we hear me say backwards, let's look at that, all I am inside.
Let's look at that, all I am inside.
And again.
Let's look at that, all I am inside.
So what happens when we play takes backwards? We see all that we are inside, which is fascinating. I mean,
yeah.
That is exactly what we see when we play taste backward. And seeing we talk about all we are inside, let me play you. Hang on, I have to go a different year for this. So let me play you a reversal I found on me once that really, really told me the power of reverse speech. This is about 20 years ago. I'd just gone through a really difficult period in my life. My son had been murdered. I came out of a horrible lawsuit, and I was in a pretty bad way. And I'm talking to some of my students in one of my classes about my emotions, and I'm wondering, why am I feeling so depressed? And in this section forwards, I say, well, I'm very sensitive to energy. Maybe that's why. So here's the forwards.
Could be. Yeah, could be. Well, see, I'm very sensitive to energy. Ultra sensitive.
And backwards, my soul give the pain. And listen to the emotions in this reversal.
My soul give the pain.
Crying. My soul.
Wow.
My soul give the pain.
You hear that?
Very song-like.
Yeah, very song-like.
My soul give the pain.
Okay, a couple of things there. Yes, you know, that's a very important point. Reverse speech. It's very song-like. It has this melodious sing-song tone to it, okay? That's one of the reasons, one of the ways you recognize genuine reversals. And this reversal is coming down from the level of the soul itself. It's saying the pain I'm feeling is down at the soul level. My soul gives the pain. I'm grieving deep down. Anyway, I went into session with was one of my trained analysts to fix it all up. And I did. So there you go.
Well, and I was going to ask, how deep do these messages go, David? You know, because we've heard a few that are one that's almost a couple sentences put together, a few that are just a couple words. But how deep do these messages tend to go when it comes to reverse speech?
Oh, as deep as you can get. They come from the deepest part of the collective unconscious. They'll tap into the future. Here, let me play you
Please.
A reverse I found on a client. Oh, hang on. No, hang on. I'll play another one first. Hang on. Let me play. Where's the one I'm looking for? IJK. Oh, blast it. Okay. I'm looking for one and I can't see at the top of my head. Where is it? JFK. I got a wonderful reversal on JFK predicting his own assassination.
Oh, my.
Yes, I know. And for the life of... here it is. Got it. Okay, listen to this. This is JFK in his inaugural address in 1961. Here's the forwards.
The slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world.
Backwards, he says, head is hitting the car.
Head is hitting the car.
Head is hitting the car.
You hear that one?
Head is hitting the car.
Because that's how he was shot, and his head was hit in the back of the limousine. So here's a reversal predicting his own assassination and the means by that it would happen as a gunshot to the head in the back of a car, which is just absolutely fascinating to think that you can tap it. So that's tapping into a future event 3 years ahead. And here's one I found on a client of mine just 3 months prior to 911. So this is on a private session work. Let me just play this one.
So I said that, I will be an opener of souls and made the most credible feeling of my heart chakra just burst in open.
And this one says, soon plan evil on America.
Soon plan evil on America.
And I go, what?
Give me 1 second here.
I asked this guy. He's never been to America. Knows no one in America. He just absolutely scratched his head at that reversal. And, of course, 3 months later, after we found that the plane flew into the Twin Towers. And I think this was also tapping into collective unconscious knowledge, predicting a future event. And I've got dozens of examples like this on file. Of Princess Di talking about her car accident in reverse beforehand. And, where do we even go? Let me play you and...
Please.
Sorry, go on. I interrupted you. Sorry, you were
saying... Oh, no, absolutely. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Here, let me play you. You've seen me talk about Princess Di. Here's one on Princess Andrew. Now, I don't know whether you know the controversy about Princess Andrew. But,
absolutely, I do.
Yeah, all right, okay. So here he is in his infamous BBC interview, where it was a disastrous interview. So here he is. Listen to this.
Nobody can prove whether or not that photograph has been doctored, but I don't recollect that photograph ever being taken.
Okay, he's talking about a photograph that had him with a young teenage girl, Jeffrey Epstein, allegedly arranged for him. Now, if you all know the story of Jeffrey Epstein, he was found dead in his cell when he was people said it was suicide. Other people said it was murder. Here we have Princess Andrew not only admitting to Epstein getting murdered, but I think ordering the killing of Jeffrey Epstein. And he says backwards, Jeff had to get murdered.
Jeff had to get murdered.
How's that for a creepy reversal?
Wow. Jeff. And those some of those things, David, are what I was talking about, where people can get very conspiratorial very quickly with some of this, because it's interesting to see. Yes, he was embroiled with a lot of things, Prince Andrew. He was also not a lot of people on this side of the pond, David, are very familiar with the likes of Jimmy Savile and his connection to the royal family and his connection to child pedophilia rings and things like that that fully make connection to things over here that hit the political radar pretty big a few years ago. So it's one of those, like, to hear that reversal, to hear him say, like, he had to get murdered. That's a big one. That's a big tater to stand on the corner with, David.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've played that subversal many times. I'm surprised it hasn't gone viral. It's so clear and so obvious, you know.
Yeah.
Jeff had to get murdered.
Well, and once again, that speaks to what we were talking about earlier, the way that this reaches down to the depths of psyche.
When you're
listening to it, the idea that your subconscious mind is telling something no different than a poker tell.
Right.
You know, what percentage of, and granted, I think all percentages of the populace is, you know, much like binaural beats, anything like that. I think that we all have the means by which biologically to understand this. How many people do you think are consciously aware of it? Do you think any people are consciously aware of the reverse speech when it happens?
Well, no, not consciously aware. No, I'm not even consciously aware when they happen. No, it's all on the unconscious. That's not totally true. Like I said earlier, we'll get a gut feeling. You know, we'll feel or perceive or know someone is lying. And my research suggests that many times we're hearing reversals of each other. So, look, our unconscious mind knows a lot. It depends on how congruent we are with our unconscious mind. It depends on personal congruity as to how accurately you can receive those signals. The more congruent you are with your inner self, the more aware you'll be of these unconscious messages and the more accurate your intuition will be. So to have a good, accurate intuition to perceive the unconscious, you need to be together sort of guy and know yourself fairly well.
Well, you know, it's one of those, what's funny is when you tell the truth, you typically don't have to keep track of a bunch of lies.
That's exactly right.
You know, and it's really, really easier to trust your gut reaction because your gut reaction is only being truthful to you. You don't have to worry about, like, oh, wait, is this some reticent thing tied to the lie that I told? You know, things like that. So even the idea of, there won't be any reversals if there ain't nothing to reverse. kind of the idea of, like, well, you know, your subconscious won't rat you out with your reverse speech if you're living a clean life and doing what's right, you know. You won't have to worry about your words in an interview saying he had to get murdered, you know.
That's right.
That kind of stuff. So but at the same token, you have reversals like you started off with that were not down this dark path, that didn't have that dark path. They were seemed to be pretty positive, that kind of stuff. So it's not like they're all tied to nefarious things.
Yeah, you have both. You know, you're positive as well as negative. I like to, when I'm doing my interviews, I like to highlight both of them. You know, it's reverse speech is not all dark. It's some of it's quite light, you know, and talks about. Oh, here, let me pull up some of my light.
Please.
IJKL, light reversals. Okay. Here's one here. Listen to this.
I've been doing hypnotherapy and regression on other people in the past, and to actually have it done, it's really nice. And I'm so susceptible to.
She said, the son, he lives in my heart, as in S-O, the son of God.
Sure.
The son, he lives in my heart. The son, he lives in my heart.
Well, there you go. Nice positive upbeat reversal. The son, referring to the son of God, which is a common metaphor in reverse speech, is living in his heart. Here's another one.
Well, the same way you tell an individual, if you had, in fact, you would probably work with the same people who have provided.
He's got some difficult voice to hear. See if you can hear this. We're stepping into the light.
Or is that the name of the wife?
Oh, yeah, that's clear.
Wow.
Or is that the name of the wife?
There you go.
Or is that the name of the wife?
So that's obviously a wonderful upbeat reversal. Let me see what else we got here. Oh, here's an interesting one on Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House. Let's do this.
It's heartbreaking, and it lacks knowledge about what the role is of FEMA and the others in time of natural disaster.
And he says, it's a war with the light. It's a war with the light. We're all fighting that war with the light. And look, there's a whole bunch of reverse little this. You can get it negative. Okay, we just got someone who said, the sun is in the heart. Here's the opposite. This is Bill Gates.
We've got a little bit of a video about some of this video recognition work we're doing. And so let's take a look.
And he says, beast, see my heart.
Did he see my heart?
Someone's ominous, isn't it? The beast comes from the Book of Revelation. The dragon.
Wow.
And so you get both the light and the dark. That's the depth this gets down to.
And you know, honestly, David, much like any therapeutic interpretation of dream, much like any therapeutic interpretation of a lot of things, it's up to interpretation, you know? Yeah. And it's one of those, like, we can't necessarily say what the motive of somebody's heart or mind is or anything like that, but it is fascinating to see what these reversals say when they say them. And on average, we have you for about another 10 minutes, David. On average, let's say you record 10 speeches a week off of C-SPAN. On average, how many reversals do you catch out of those 10-minute speeches?
10-minute speeches? Political speeches? Probably 10 speeches, 2 or 3 each 10 minutes. So 10 speeches, 20 or 30 reversals.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That is a great number. And once again, like you said, it seems to happen more when people are talking about things that they are, well, I guess, you know, like emotionally invested in. Like you said, when two friends are talking, you find a lot more reversals than when somebody's just up at a podium speaking. However, you know, you find most congressmen or you know, politicians, things like that, have a bone of passion in them for what they're doing. They wouldn't. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's tons of kickbacks. There's reasons to do it for 20, 30 years. But most people don't do 20 something for 20, 30 years that they're miserable at.
No.
So the idea that you would hear reversals regularly in a politician or in a musician or someone like that who is definitely of that passionate lifestyle, you know, fighting for a cause, things like that. I would see that as pretty regular.
Yeah. No, it is regular. And as far as sticking at this for 20 or 30 years, I don't know. The importance of this technology cannot be understated.
Yes.
It's a direct tap into the unconscious. It's what theologians and philosophers have been seeking for centuries, a way to look inside and understand our deep inner self. And that's what this is. And that's why I have stuck at it for 41 years, because it's so important and so significant. Look, I know the skepticism out there is high around it.
That's all right.
However, anyone who ever spends any time and listens to these examples, go to my YouTube channel. There's hundreds of videos up there, and you can hear them all for yourself. They're all very clear. They're all very obvious. Most often don't require imagination or guesswork. And what can I say? It's amazing technology.
And it's fantastic to see once again how you have used what you came across as a tool in therapy, as a means for therapeutic use. And that is beautiful, David, to know that you are using this to help people treat their traumas, to help people get back in touch with traumas that they have long buried so that they can release them. That's beautiful and amazing work that you're doing with this. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was my pleasure. Yeah. To take this into the therapeutic arena was just natural for me. It was like second. It's like obvious, no-brainer. It can set people free.
Yeah.
I see it in my session work all the time. You know? Look, that's most of my work. I start work about, at 8:30, 9 in the morning, working with clients, go through the whole day, that's what the real power is.
Exactly. Now, before we let you go, number one, is the software licensable? Is it software that's publicly available for people to purchase?
Yeah. Just go to my website, reversespeech.com. Okay. You can get all the both software. Just go to the product section of the website, and they're both there. You can buy them and download them and have fun for yourself. Find your own reversals. Yes.
Oh, I am all about that. That is so fantastic. So, where can people go to get a hold of you for therapeutic sessions, things like that, David?
Well, best way is to email me. So let me give you my email address. Okay. It's backwards. That's BACKWARDS, as in playing taste backwards. backwards@reversespeech.com. That's all one word. And that's how you can get a hold of me. I'm fairly active on Facebook. Just search me on Facebook. You'll find me.
That's where I found you.
Yeah. A lot of people find me on Facebook. I tend not to advertise or promote myself much. I wait till people find me.
It's interesting. If there are any therapists out there listening that are interested in leveraging this as a tool in your therapeutic use, especially all of you NLP practitioners out there, things like that, neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis, things like that, make sure to get in touch with David, everybody. David, thank you so much for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay.
I would love to have you on again and again. Please do hold the line real quick while we close out with the audience. While you are online, checking out everything from David Oates at reversespeech.com, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is where you can like, follow, subscribe. That is where you can visit CuriousRealm.com/videos and find all of the video channels of our guests like David and others. Embedded right there. So it is nice and easy for you to follow. You can like, follow, subscribe right there on our page on the website. So stop on by, check that out, everybody. And also make sure to get your copy of the official Field Observation and Encounter Log from Curious Research. It is a great holiday gift for anybody that you know that is a researcher into the paranormal, cryptid, UFO, UAP community. If they are out doing field work, investigations, this is their way to be able to take the data that they experience in the field and gather in the field, write it down in a scientific way, and have it ready to hand over to science come the day that lab work need be done.
The key to good science is good research. At the heart of good research is a good data set. With the Field Observation and Encounter Log from Curious Research, you can easily keep track of your investigative information all in one place, making it easier to review cases and readily see comparisons and contrasts between them. Whether out in the woods squatching, in a back room gathering EVPs, or using high-tech gear to track UFO UAP activity, this easy-to-carry, pocket-sized scientific data log is the perfect companion for any field researcher. You can find your copy of the Curious Research Field Observation and Encounter Log at Amazon.com or visit the official Curious Realm store at CuriousRealm.com/store to reserve your copy for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is curiousrealm.com/store. Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for hanging on through that quick break. Also, thank you so much to our sponsors, especially True Hemp Science. They are my source for amazing CBD products. I have been using True Hemp Science for at least the last 6-7 years, and Christopher Lynch over there creates an amazing product. He uses a spigeric process where every part of the plant is used, reused, combusted, and reused all the way down to dust, literal particles, and out of that creates a full spectrum, amazing CBD product, terpene profiles and all, amazing, amazing stuff. Stop on by and check them out. TrueHempScience.com is the website that you want to use. Use the code CURIOUS7 to save 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more and get two edibles for free on the way out the door. Our guest in this segment is the amazing Michael J.S. Carter. He is the author of Initiation, The Spiritual Transformation of the Experiencer. That is basically what we're going to be talking about in this segment, folks. There has been a lot going on in our community over the last couple of months. We are into the new year now. And as the new year progresses, as we get into 2025, especially with these topics of UFOs, UAPs being on everybody's mind, being headlines in the news, the topics of drones being in the headlines in the news and everything else, one of the big things that has popped up is of course, the old school hypothesis of Project Bluebeam and what Project Bluebeam is all about. And the idea that was put out by Serge Monast in his book Project Bluebeam so many years ago, that high technology, things like drones in the air, holographic technology, drones using holograms, things like that would lead to a fake second coming. Or not fake second coming to begin with, but the original concept was, you know, the idea of a faked alien invasion. And if the faked alien invasion wouldn't get things moving, and get people catalyzed in a fear kind of way to allow an overarching one world government to come in, take over and protect us all from this massive threat, then what it would be. And this is why we're having the good reverend on. What it would be, if not that, would be a fake second coming to catalyze the religious right and to catalyze those of faith before logic kind of situation. And I'm not saying a second coming won't happen, folks. As many of you know in the audience, I'm a former seminarian. I taught religion and spirituality of the Catholic Church for many, many years. So, you know, the idea of the Book of Revelation does not escape me. The idea of the prophecies of Daniel do not escape me. All right. However, we have to remember that, as with any good prophecy, you're given a way out with a prophecy. Okay. So Project Bluebeam, no prophecy. Not a prophecy, everybody. Okay. There's no way out in Project Bluebeam. So what we're here to consider is that idea of a control mentality, Reverend, the idea of how do you use a technology like this to once again, not only possibly fake a second coming, but how that would reactionally happen across the globe, how that could catalyze people in a very specific way, in an us versus them mentality. And some of the things that have happened within community of UFO, UAP, since the whole drone flap started, and the growth of more and more, orbs, plasmoids and things like that being, and I'm not saying plasma is not possibly an intelligent life form, that there aren't possibly some intelligent plasmas out there. However,
when we're talking about these things in relation to religion, when we're talking about these things in relation to this is an angel, this is a demon, you know, and who is the oracle of such, that's where we get into some problematic phenomenological areas, even when you're talking religion and philosophy, Reverend. So welcome back to the show.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Wow. And nice light topics for the, yeah. And want to wish everybody, no matter what your religious persuasion is, I just want to wish you a happy 2025 and many blessings going forward. Hope you had a good holiday season. The table's been set, if you will, and all of the forces have come together. Hollywood has set us up regarding what is palatable, spoon feeding us the possibility of extraterrestrial life with our sci-fi shows and movies and what have you. And what it did was, it really, a couple things, but what it did was it got us to really see how many people don't trust our government. How many people feel as if somehow we have lost our way,
yeah.
And the powers that be and our decision makers are not being upfront with us. And so you have all of these theories, and just because they're conspiracies don't mean they're labeled that, does not mean there's not any truth to them.
Absolutely.
And so if you go back to 1952 in July, where very real UFOs, a sign flying over the Capitol. People panicked, of course. And then we had the famous picture of the sighting in Los Angeles, the Battle of L.A., when they're shooting at. So we're not strangers to these things, these objects in our skies.
Yeah.
When we talk about. We've had the hearings, right? We've had hearings. Things are, and on one hand, they're becoming a little more transparent. And on the other hand, we're still in the dark about a lot of these things. Religion is not being talked about as much as I would like it to be talked about as yet in regards to the UAP phenomenon by our government. But it is being talked about by our evangelical and more conservative brothers and sisters who take their faith seriously, who take their Bibles seriously. And on top of that, they want to see change. And yeah. So for those people out there who say they're not into politics and UFOs, of course you are. And if you're not, you better get in it.
That's
because
right.
It's here.
That's
and
right.
We're talking about exopolitics as well as geopolitics,
yep.
Because you can't separate the two.
No.
And so here we have the drones. I don't trust my government to the extent they say they don't know what it is. They may not know what the source is, but they know what these are.
Yeah.
They know that no other government on Earth possesses this technology, and they seem to be very interested in our nuclear capabilities, right? It's like having neighbors down the street who yep. are playing with fire ever since we split the atom over Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Of course, these sightings have become more and more numerous. So here we are today. You know, you can go back and research. Chris put some things up, but you can go back. Of these things seen in our skies, wonderful book out called UFOs in Wartime. Obviously the Bible's a great reference. So this is not new. But what is new is how brazen these sightings are.
Yes.
And before we get to the Project Bluebeam, you know, we know that most of the visitors, if not all, have two objectives. They're concerned about climate change.
Yep.
And they're concerned about our nuclear capabilities. So there's no, this is not a coincidence that they are following, you know, because we move our nuclear weapons, you know, for different sites every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
And they seem to be hovering around those sites. That's number one. And number two is what we're doing to the planet.
Yep.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He said, Michael, a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, the climate change is it happens. And I said, you're right. It does happen. But because of our technology and the lack of wisdom and knowledge, we are accelerating it. I have no problem with that. It
That's
would
right.
happen naturally. Of course it would.
Yeah.
But we're making it worse. So, Project Bluebeam. In order to have this new world order, and you can call it whatever word you want, you have to have control over people. Now, one thing that's concerned me about this whole thing regarding disclosure is how militarized it is. The only people who are allowed to come forward are, yeah, please keep that up.
Yeah.
Chris, are ex-military, intelligence operatives, and of course, you know, civilian airline pilots, but that leaves other folks out. And so it gets to the point where if you're not in a military person or in intelligence, then really you're discounted.
Mm.
And I just want to keep my eye on that because that's what's happening. And so we will set the narrative. We'll tell you what's fake news. We'll tell you what's real or not. You want to keep your eye on that. This is becoming very militarized.
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead. That's concerning to me. And the second thing, though, is the religious part. The only person that I heard talk about this is Tim Burgett from the great state of Tennessee. Mm. He was on News Nation several months ago saying that he wasn't speaking for everyone, but for him to come out and say that, he had to get the okay from someone,
yeah.
Is that he believed that the UFOs were all riddled through the Bible. And it was like a trial balloon, I think, to see how would people react, you know, because he came out and said it. He said, you can still be a Christian and yep. believe in them, which, of course, you and I both know that. We know we're seminary trained. However, when we come to Blue Book, Bluebeam, this is where we have our government. And I'm sure other governments of the world are involved, but we in the West are very Christocentric,
yeah.
where we fake the second coming because we have the technology now and a hologram. We can have a hologram. And to fake this, did you remember when we had the you know, when the three kids at Fatima.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a Catholic country. Okay. But it was like the world saw that. And they talked about Mother Mary coming and this type of thing. But we now have the technology where we could probably do it. We have AI. We have a lot going on that can deceive even those people who are vigilant. And so the message today is not that you should give up your faith or that you're not vigilant, that you're not concerned, but you don't want to make a hasty decision. And we do know from what's going on in the world that we are inching ever closer to a one world type of situation. We have it with our currencies.
Yep.
You know, so and so with this fake drone scenario, I don't believe that the government doesn't know what it is. I believe they can't say what the source is, or maybe they can, but they're not. But what they are, if they do, they know their constituency has been more conservative, brothers and sisters, Christian right, evangelical Christians.
Yeah.
And you want to be careful that you don't make a hasty decision, because once you've given your power away, and let's say their Project Bluebeam has this validity to it, and we do have the capabilities to stage something like this, once you've given your power away, you can't get it back.
That's right. That's right. Once you have advocated power, getting that back is that's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we
do know that there are people in the government who want to manipulate. There are people who wanted us to have a nuclear exchange by starting war in the Middle East so they could force Jesus to come back, if that's your belief.
Sure.
A lot of people in government are Christian, evangelical, more Orthodox, and you want to talk about control freaks. You're going to force this man to come back? Wonderful book written with God on their side about this scenario.
Yeah.
It also, this backing of Israel unconditionally. Who's doing that? Well, mostly evangelical brothers and sisters, because, you know, we've been told Israel has the special place. United States and Israel's relationship has been blessed. And I'm sure there is truth to that. But we're talking about that we're on the verge of a nuclear exchange.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about climate change. The nuclear clock is closer to midnight than we think. With what's going on in Ukraine,
yep,
and what's going on in Gaza. And so, you know, and now we have this technology where we can really manipulate and create. And you want to have the insight, the hindsight, and the foresight to know. You want to know what's in the book, but you don't want to be so blinded that you that anything that comes down the pike, you're willing to accept. So
yes,
Chris,
yes,
and I were talking, what do we have to be vigilant? We have to have the spirit of discernment. Christian, Jewish, Muslim, otherwise, because once you give it up, you can't get it back.
Yeah.
And I don't trust my government either. Now, and there are good people in government, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying, but there are people. There are, you know, principles and, you know, principalities and
that's
what
right.
have you. That's what we're battling here.
And once again, not to come at this from any kind of religious angle. That's kind of the point that we are arguing, is you can have your faith and keep your
yes.
faith. Absolutely. Keep your faith strong and hold it dear. However, do not conflate and confuse the two. You
yes,
know, do not allow
it can be used yeah, against you.
That's right. That's right. And that's just it. And even right now, amongst the community, to see the didactic of angelic orbs, demonic craft, things like that being spouted by people who are very trusted in community, you know, stuff like that, kind of, and I'm not saying that they are a plant in any kind of way, but it definitely sets up a didactic mentality.
Yes.
And
yes.
and sets up for a we're right about experience, you're wrong about experience.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And when you divide it like that, you're easy to control.
Yeah.
You're easy to control. It's old as Machiavelli. It's divide and conquer.
Yeah.
We can have different experiences.
Yep.
But they're just as valid. And you want to keep that in mind. I think you do. Because if not, you can be led down the wrong path. I am an experiencer. Okay, and I still have my faith. It has been tweaked, but it's still there. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, and it's right in the Bible. Some of these beings wanted to keep us so ignorant we didn't know we were naked.
That's right.
Some of them have come and they have helped Look what happened with Daniel. Look what happened when Peter was in prison. The angel comes and gets him. I mean, there's stories in there where there were benevolent beings.
The pillar of fire leading the Israelites that was Yahweh.
Yeah, there were some beings that were kind of neutral. But that's what you want to keep in mind. You can't paint all of them with the same brush.
That's
right. You can't do it with human beings.
Yeah.
And once you go, these are demons and these aren't, or they're all demons, you've backed yourself into a corner. And I, you know, we don't need to, we need more choices, not more rigidity. And so Project Bluebeam alleges that global elites are planning to fake a supernatural event or alien invasion. Now, what I want you to keep in mind is the militarization of this phenomenon. And people like you or I and other experiencers, we've kind of been kind of pushed to the side, at least for now. And the only people who are trustworthy are military operatives, military intelligence, some civil airline, you know, people coming forward. And there are other voices that need to be involved. There are other voices that need to be involved.
Yes.
And so if they're not, then we make it, well, the powers that be make it more and more possible that scenarios like the one we're talking about can happen.
Yeah.
And we will have no say in this matter at all.
Yeah.
And you wind up giving your allegiance to the state.
Yeah.
And that's how Christianity changed from the teachings of Jesus to Constantine. Constantine said, hey, man, I'm a Christian now. I don't know what was in brother's heart, but I do know that Christians became from being persecuted and fed to lions and barbecued and beheaded.
Yeah, flayed in public.
It's the state religion, but now it's the state religion. So we tweak it. These are the books that are involved in the Bible. These aren't.
That's right.
This is what it means to be holy, and these aren't. And if Jesus came back today, he wouldn't recognize what was done in his name.
I would tend to agree with that when you read all the big red words, Reverend. And it's one of those that that's constantly the example that I give people as somebody who, as a Catholic seminarian, studied tons of church history. Yeah. You know,
What I'm saying?
Like, you cannot tell me that literally the First Nicene Council was not specifically devised to get the narrative of Christ right and to hammer out the Trinity.
Yeah, it was voted
as
on.
A teaching, and literally.
It was voted on.
Other than that, it was how many angels could dance on the head of a pin.
Yeah,
those were the three big
on.
Topics.
Mary being a virgin was voted on, as well as is Jesus God or very God, begotten, not made. You know, these things were voted on.
That's right. That's right. Those pillars of faith are literally what were the divining rod as to what books stayed in the Bible. And it didn't matter which sect you were regionally. If you were reading the Gospel of Mary, it's out now. Sorry.
Yeah. And if you keep reading it, you're going to be out with it.
You're now anathema, know, and welcome to becoming Eastern Orthodox.
Right. So you want to make sure that in the guise of worshiping and following the teachings of Jesus, you want to be careful that you're really not really worshiping the emperor.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter who that emperor is.
Well, or whoever is controlling the dialogue. and you know, as you were talking a second ago, the one scripture that popped into my head was, don't be lukewarm. And it like this whole path of my show and even my audience and everything, like people ask me all the time, like, why aren't you more popular? Like, I can't, like the guests you have, the topics I don't understand why you aren't more popular. And I was like, as I've told them numerous times, it's because I am not infrared or ultraviolet. I am purple. I'm in the middle. My job
and
is
you to, are popular.
My job
you
is to
say,
be.
Maybe I'm not popular to you, my, but I'm pretty popular.
My job is to be passionately lukewarm, Reverend.
Well,
which,
yeah.
Which
yeah,
means I'm not going to be hot or cold, because if I'm hot or cold, then I'm being driven by a dialogue one way or another.
I can't see it from the middle.
I'm being pulled by a dialogue at that point and being pulled by a narrative. And that's not demystifying things, which is what this show is about. Kind of like we're breaking down Project Bluebeam and how it would be used to control people right now. You know, not in a panic kind of way, but in a let's demystify this and get to the root of why it would work.
And we're letting people make their own decisions.
That's it. That's it. Once again, the idea of the prophet. There's a way out. There's a way out. It's not just a foregone conclusion. There's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
If the prophet doesn't give you a way out, that's why Nostradamus isn't a prophet, y'all. All he did was scry some stuff, which sure, there may be some accuracies in there. But a prophet gives you an option where it's like, hey, you know, if you stop doing this, this isn't going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Well, and that's very, and you know what? Thank God you said it. That is very, very crucial, ladies and gentlemen.
Hugely.
Because you can read Revelations.
That's right.
And Revelations, there are ways to keep that from happening. I don't believe we've reached a point of no return, at least not yet. I think we're close. I think we're close with climate change and even with are we as a country, what choices are we going to make? And history will that'll play out. But it's not just, and what you said, Chris, it's not just that prophecies give you a way out. Love gives you a way out.
That's right. Love and empathy.
And if you say God is love, as John talks about, then you always have a way out. You may suffer some bumps and bruises, but love gives you a way out. And so I guess that's the bottom line. I'm not talking about love being mushy and, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm not talking about that kind of love. That may not even be love. But I am talking about the love that says there's nothing you can do that I can't unlove you. You have free will, though.
Yeah.
And free will simply means that you can do anything you want, anything, as long as you know you have to face the consequences.
Yeah.
That's free will.
That used to be the joke that we played on each other in the seminary all the time. It's just like, hey, you know that's a sin, right? Well, you do now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've informed your conscience now.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a problem.
otherwise, we're just sinners judging other sinners for sinning differently.
Well, and you know, Yeah, no, precisely.
You don't want to do that.
Well, and you mentioned something in our pre-show conversation, Reverend, the idea of viewing the world through a jaundiced eye, you know, the idea of looking at the world through a tainted filter.
Yeah,
you know,
I see the speck in your eye, but not the log in mine.
Yeah, yeah.
As a famous rabbi once said. And so when we go back to things like Project Blue Book, you know, test the spirit.
Well, and
before you throw your whole weight behind it.
That's right. And what spawned this whole convo? What spawned my text to you, Reverend, about this? Was because I've been aware of Bluebeam for a long time. I've done a few episodes. We've mentioned Bluebeam a few times in our conversations on air. However, I have seen it brought up in news cycle. I've seen it as I'm popping up different sources. Like here it is from, you know, NDTV. Here it is from Newsweek. Like it's popping up all over the place to see it. And oddly enough, the conversation that I hear it from in the community more than anything is people in the UFO UAP community who identify as religious.
Yeah.
And what disturbs me the most is the fact of not only are they saying it and saying, look at Project Bluebeam in action, but they're forgetting the fact that it's there to possibly fake something to catalyze the religious right, something to catalyze the faithful and the religious. And it's like, my God, have you taken the plank out of your eye? Are you seeing literally how they are using this to catalyze you right now?
Yeah, yes, yes. And that's a great point. That's a great point. And because what we're seeing with this whole militarization of the narrative,
yeah,
they will get to define who the enemy is.
That's right.
Now,
even if it's each other, even if it's us.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, well, that too. But I mean, even as you know, a pickpocket walks into a room, walks into a party, and all he sees is, or she sees his pockets. The thing is this, when I see from what I hear and read of nuclear facilities being monitored and they shut off the nuclear missiles, I don't see that as a threat. I see that maybe as a warning. I see that maybe even as an act of friends saying, you really don't know what you're doing with this. Because let's face it, if something was going to happen, it would have happened already.
That's right.
By them versus us.
Yeah, they'd have launched them all and raised the planet to begin with.
But if I keep telling you it's a threat, if I keep telling you your security's threatened and people are flipping out, oh my God, what is that? Are we being... Then... When I get you worked up to that hysteria, then all I have to do one day is say, you know what? These are our enemies. These people are here and they don't mean us any good. And like Ronald Reagan said, you know, maybe if we all come together and put aside our differences because we'll have one common enemy, then it's too late then because you've already given your power away. You get to decide. Who's your enemy? You get to decide that at least on some level. And you don't want to be misled. If these beings were going to destroy us and they're showing us the level of capability that they have, and there are many beings out there, so can't speak for all of them. But if these particular ones are saying, hey, man, we saw what you did in Japan. That's not okay.
Yeah.
We saw it. And now we've been trying to tell you for 70 plus years, and you don't know how close you are to have a nuclear war now, at least in exchange. We're trying to, and that to me, that's an act of caring. We want you to thrive. We want you to survive. We want you to have a future.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid. Or are you going to say, see, they took our weapons and they can do A, B, C, D, E. And we can't have that.
Yeah.
We've got to defend and fight against that. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And if you think it does, I know where there's a bridge for sale. But if you think it does, then you will be easily led into these are all demons because you're reading the Bible from your limited interpretation.
Yeah.
And that we need to fight against them and make everybody believe the same way we believe. You know, crusades and Holocaust happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're going to be used by the very people who may hold you in some type of contempt.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the example that I give as a video engineer regularly, Reverend, is black and white TV has thousands of shades of gray. Otherwise, you'd have very little detail in the incoming message.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you would have it would be a very, very rough outline of things if there were zero shades of gray in a black and white TV.
Yeah, we've got to stop thinking either or.
Yeah.
Life is more complicated. Well, it's either this way or that. There's some things are, but most of life is gray.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not kill. If I get sent to war, I may have to kill to come back.
Yeah.
There's no, what am I going to do? Get shot?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just common sense. there's some gray areas, and that we, I wish it was black and white. Life would be easier. But that's why we have, you know, choices, and that's why we have to make difficult decisions and that, those kinds of things.
Well, and that's why you need, as we, to loop it back to the beginning, why you need that discernment of spirit and of mind, you know, to be able to discern those things. But also the fact of, you know, when it comes to it's angelic or it's demonic or it's nothing else, it's black or it's white, it's red or it's blue. The only thing that ever comes from a distillative mentality is something volatile. So the only thing you get out of distillation and chemistry is a volatile substance. Okay. Yeah. So like you get into distillation mentality, brother, that's the root of racism. That's you know, like because they're that, they must be this. That's dangerous mentality. Dangerous mentality.
And this is intergalactic
racism. Yeah, absolutely.
Because now we're putting it on a species or other people who don't come from here, who probably were here before we were.
Yep.
And so all I'm saying is I'm not telling you to give up your faith. I'm not telling you not to be vigilant. I'm telling you to be vigilant.
Yeah.
But don't get so just be vigilant. Look at the signs of the times. And I don't mean that in the generic way.
Yeah.
I mean, what has our government, what, you know, you don't want to replace the government for God. You don't want to do that.
That's
there's
right.
a higher authority. And you know what I'm saying? And you have to be aware of that, that there is a higher authority. The government is not God.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to make that mistake. You don't want to make that mistake because you can look through history and see what happens when those mistakes are made.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And you know,
that's idolatry. The flag is not the country. The flag is a representation of our country and our ideals, but it's a symbol, but it's not those ideas and those things themselves.
Yeah.
You don't want to conflate the two because then that is idolatry.
Yep. Yep. And that's just it. You know, it's the idea of, does the cross represent punishment and pain and horrible things, or does it represent resurrection and choice of others above self, you know? There's two different ways you can take that symbol right there.
No question. And you know, I think that, and we're going to see where we're going to take it in the next, you know, the next years ahead of us, because the world is very different. But I'm saying, keep your eye on Project Blue Beam.
Yes.
Keep your eye on what we're being told, but also don't throw away your common sense. Don't let fear have the day, because if I can make you afraid, I can control you. If I can make, and that's why I say, go back and look, you know, our government, well, we don't know what these things are flying over us, and they may not know, I believe they do, but they don't know where the source is, or they're not really to tell. But in 1952, these UFOs flew right over the White House boldly. Yeah. And they told the populace that they weren't UFOs. So, you know, there's a history, and you can do your own research. There's more and more of this going on. But they are flying over nuclear facilities.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're our enemy.
Well, and, you know, even the fact of, once again, Michael, am I saying that there are not some UFO UAP mixed amongst the sightings that have happened in the last month and a half? No, there are. However, everything that the government is talking about, everything that's happened in the news and what brought about the hearings, they are saying openly, these are drones. These are drones. Not like these are unidentified objects in our airspace or anything like that. Like, they are definitively saying these are drones, you know?
And some people are, and some people are talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Absolutely.
I've heard that they were drones, and then I've heard other people say, but we don't know. But that's the definition of UFO. It's in the sky, it's flying,
we don't,
and you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That's the very definition of it. But you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
I've heard people come out and say, no government on earth that we know of adversaries or not, have this technology. And then we have President-elect Trump come out and say, they know what they are. I don't know why they're not telling you.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of stories there, and there's a lot of but you have to start using your own common sense.
You do.
Too.
You do.
And you have to say, well, what do I feel it is? It's OK to be wrong, but don't let it be told to you without thinking through this.
Yeah.
We've been lying about this for 70 plus years.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Right now, there is a huge convergence, and something that, once again, as a show that demystifies things and tries to get into the phenomenology, especially of faith and belief, and how that can affect data, how that can affect research, you know, if you are a non-compartmentalization person, you know, if you can't compartmentalize the two and separate the two. And I think that's some of the issue that we're dealing with is, as we've talked about numerous times on the show and with you, there is a dangerous want of confirmation of belief, not only in the divine, but also in UFO, UAP, a very large and anything paranormal, be it Bigfoot, you know, Mothman, what have you. If you have had an experience, you have a want of confirmation of that experience. Phenomenologically, you want to quantify what happened to you. And the only way to quantify that is to find somebody of similar experience or to find other supporting data for your experience, one of the two. So you have that want of confirmation and you're looking for it.
No, and you do, but you don't want to go to the same people who just told you 10 years ago that you were wrong.
No, absolutely. You don't want that. And you don't want that
because you also, these people told you that you were crazy and you were wrong. Now the same people are telling you it's real, but they're telling you something that you know is real.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that that's what you got to keep in mind, too. I applaud Lou Elizondo.
Absolutely.
And these other brothers and sisters who are coming. I do. I don't need them to tell me what I know was real.
Yeah.
And I don't need them to. Now, that's just me. Everybody doesn't think like me. But I'm telling you, because the game is rigged, you can play it. But you got to be more alert. You got to be more aware.
Well, it's much like reading and interpreting the Bible, to bring it back to that. It's a book that has existed for millennia. But depending on the translation you're reading, it's been through different things. It's been through different translations of language. It may be through flawed translation of language because it was translated from Latin and nothing was ever written in the Latin language in the Bible. You know?
I just want people of faith to know that you don't have to throw away your common sense.
No. And it's also the fact of you have to understand the text that you are reading within the context of the text that you're reading, within the context of the time, the people's faith of the time. You know, there's a lot of nuance there rather than just the black and white of what's on the page. To
Agreed.
Understand that
Agreed.
Fills out the story of what's on the page. Otherwise, you can be taken down a narrative path. And to understand that once again, narrative path was a narrative laid out for you with these specific books and the others were excluded is a huge part of the story. And you have to know that part of the story to understand the book.
Yes. No question.
Know?
No question.
So,
and you and I have the fortunate, I mean, we chose that path that I was taught to read the Bible and I went as you did. I mean, Catholic seminary is no joke and you are taken through it. And I went to one of the top seminaries in the country, Union Theological Seminary in
New
York.
Amazing seminary.
And I was taught to read the Bible like you read a newspaper. Who,
That's
what,
right.
when, where, how, why.
Yeah.
Because people
footnotes.
Wrote with agendas and And I know most people who did not go to seminary will probably say, well, I wouldn't go to a seminary like that. It takes away faith. I get all that.
Sure.
But that's how you want to be looking at it. Who benefits? Why are they writing this? And so, you know, you want to use those. How are they doing it? So you want to use those same techniques, those same insights when you're in this phenomenon, because there's a lot of cloak and dagger.
Yep.
There's a lot of information, disinformation, misinformation. You know, let's try this on for size. Maybe now that Project Bluebeam is on everyone's lips, maybe now they won't use it. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's true. So then you got to be aware of that, because it only works when people aren't hip to it. And so, or maybe more people aren't. And so, you know, those of us who may say, wait a minute, let's not rush. Maybe that's not what we think it is. More people may. Yeah. But I'm just saying there are all these variables and nuances. And you want to be aware, because you're talking about your inner life.
That's right.
You're talking about the cultivation of your inner life, and who's going to try and control that.
Well, because
if you don't control it, it's going to be a sad day.
Well, and who may control you and your narrative because of your development of that inner life? Mm-hmm. You know, because once again, that's kind of the idea here, is to not only use people of belief in UFOs, aliens, things like that, to catalyze them in a fake alien invasion, which is what everybody's saying these drones are. Once again, you know, tying them to Bluebeam and all that kind of stuff. But to forget the fact that it has utterly to do with the idea that, well, it's the idea of faith, whether it's the idea of faith in the UFOs and the aliens, that they're going to fake an invasion for the guise of one world order, or they catalyze the religious into believing that there is a paranormal event going on, that there is a battle of good and evil going on, or that the second coming has happened, or something like that, to catalyze the same means of control as a one world religion. There's that. That's the issue, is using your faith and what you believe as the didactic of control, and to put us didactically against each other, as an us versus them.
Yes.
You know, to drive that wedge.
About. And yes, you put it out there clearly. Yeah. Because, you know, if I can divide you, I've got you.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah.
It just works.
Well, a house divided amongst itself cannot stand.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, we need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
As people of faith and non-people of faith, that we have more in common than that which divides us.
Well,
and don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
Because the same people benefit when we don't try to dialogue.
Yeah. And I will definitely say, as we've talked about numerous times, Reverend, I fully believe that there is a huge spiritual component to experience, an experience catalyzes a person to catharsis, all kinds of things. And once again, to use that passion that somebody has experienced, to use that passion that somebody experiences in a church every Sunday when they are, you know, in connection with their divine, and to twist that and to use that is a powerful tool.
Yeah, and it's just not good. I mean, and again, you touched on it, that this is more about a change in consciousness than it is about tech.
Yeah.
But that's the level of evolution these people are at. It's just nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
What these teachers have come to tell us is that you're more than your body, and that this is more than, it's not about tech. It's about your inner life, your soul, not a scientific word, but I'll use it, your spirit. And that's what's lacking in this, that and everyday people, the conversations. No, this is the everyday.
Yeah.
But now we're just hearing from military people, and they just come to life with a different slant. I'm not saying discount it. I'm just saying, but there are other voices.
Consider
and we're
that.
Not hearing those voices now.
Yeah.
We're just hearing what we're being told to hear. Well, and just be vigilant about that as we move into this next few years. Who's controlling the narrative now?
That's right. That's right. You know, and precise language that they're using to control it. Things like
yeah.
that. You know, the once again, that divisive language, the language that once.
Most specialized.
Once,
only
yeah.
we know it.
Yeah.
We don't use UFO anymore. That's for the common people. It's UAP.
Yeah.
We don't talk about bodies. We talk about biologics. You know, I'm hijacking the language. I'm hijacking the nomenclature. Because I'm creating a different one.
Yeah, non-human intelligence.
And if you don't use that language, then you're not going to be taken seriously.
Yeah, and you know, even once again, that idea of seeing things being divided experientially within the community amongst angelic, demonic experience, things like that.
Yeah, those two. Dynamics.
Yeah.
It's more to light, and then you got a whole thing in between there. But it's either this or this. No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just it. I want people to be more than open minded, Reverend. We need to be open hearted. We need to be empathetic and
yes.
understand
yes.
The ways in which an experience catalyzes somebody and changes somebody. And you know, hey, I'm not gonna lie. Some of the worst things I did in my life were what catalyzed me to become the good person that I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sometimes, yes, it can take that suffering to catalyze you. However, that doesn't mean that somebody's experience is demonic. Even if something bad happened to them, even if they were experimented on, if things like that does not mean that it's a demonic experience, because once again, that would be judging another entity from another place in the universe by our religious means. You know, it's kind of like, does the idea of abduction as we know it being an invasive thing where somebody comes and takes you without permission, do they even have that concept? Psychologically, the idea of like, wow, I'm traumatizing somebody by taking them without their consent. Like, do they even have consent in their society? You know, like that's kind of a free will concept that we have here on this planet and religiously have agreed upon through different cultural means. You know,
and if you go back and read Betty Andreasen and some of those stories where people have said you don't have a right to do it, they have answered, we do have a right.
Yeah.
And to me, that means you have no idea who you are or what you are or even where we can. We do have a right.
Yeah.
That sounds like people who had hand in creation, had hand in civilization. Had hands, and that's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah.
And they do have that, because otherwise they wouldn't be shutting down missile silos. They do recognize the autonomy, or at least the yeah. right of a species to have its own destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. And once again, you have to really dig into the phenomenology of it, and
you have to study and read for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, having that spiritual background is hugely helpful, when understanding the way in which, a paranormal or alien experience affects somebody and changes them. And
yeah.
catalyzes them to change.
Well, look at Paul.
Yeah.
Look at Paul. Paul was killing Christians.
Yep.
Paul was persecuting people of the way. And then he has this experience. He's taken up. He talks about it. He says, I don't know what heaven it was, but I was taken. So he's had a close encounter, and he comes back. And now he's one of the biggest cheerleaders of Jesus. It's the stuff we're talking about, folks. You can go back and read your book. You can go back. It's there. We're not making it up.
Yeah.
It's right there. This man started Christianity as we know it.
Yeah.
A Roman Jew started Christianity.
Yep.
As we know it today.
Yeah, as the brand Christianity in that kind of way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it was definitely marked.
He had a close encounter.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, it was definitely markedly different than what was handed to Peter.
You know?
So,
that's all I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, go back and read, go back and look and see how that strikes you. You may say, I didn't even think of it that way. Mm. I didn't even know that. But yeah, because I would argue, and we don't have to do that here, but our religions were started by these beings. And that we mistook. Yeah, that's what it is. And so the same beings that our ancestors in the book, because that's what they're telling you, hey, man, yo, this is what it was like to share the planet with these beings. See, I call that an invasion. You can call it an intervention. But whether it's the Hindu scriptures, whether it's the Vikings or Native Americans, they're saying beings from the sky came here. Some of them made it with our women, had wives, families,
yep,
carried on. Some of them helped us start civilization. If you go to Zachariah Sitchin, some of them just wanted us to be used to mine gold and be enslaved. But I call that an invasion. And now maybe that's one of the reasons the government doesn't want to talk about it, because they know what I know and probably more. But these books are talking about we were invaded. Enoch, Elijah's story, that's what we're talking about here. And that may be why. No one wants to hear that, but that's called an invasion in 21st century parlance. But these beings have been here, and they've always been here, and they always will be.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's it. Once again, it's that religion and the belief that can be so easily corrupted, so easily used. Oh. That is the focus of that Project Bluebeam part of the conversation, Reverend, is the idea that yes, your beautifully in-depth faith that you accept beyond anything else could possibly be used against you to further their dialogue and to control you, literally with your full consent, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
it's been done before. It's been done before. The Bible stories are full of it. They're full of that. Yeah. When Yahweh controlled this part of the earth or this part of the Middle East, your people come with it. So if I'm angry at these people over here,
yep,
and you're worshiping me, then you got to be angry with them too. That's the dark side of religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the dark side of religion.
Yeah.
They don't believe like we believe.
That's just it. It's that. Distilled us versus them mentality that becomes dangerous.
And then that's why people walk away from religion now.
Well,
I get it.
Yeah,
I'm
get
still
it.
In the game. I get up and go to work on Sundays.
Yeah.
But, you know, and in between, you know, I got, you know, that's what I've done.
Yeah.
But I can see why people say what they say negative about religion, because that's what they've seen.
Yep.
But there's another side, and there's the side we're talking about now. And I guess we just have to say, what story is going to win the day?
Yeah. Yeah.
What story is going to win the day?
Well, and if discernment wins the day, to really bring this right back to the first 5 minutes, Reverend, does discernment win the day? Does the logic win the day? Do we take a step back, not from our faith and what we believe, but from the dilution of the world around us due to our faith? You know, the idea that we're so blinded by our faith that we aren't willing to see what's right in front of us. You know, And that's very easy to let happen. That's very easy to let happen.
And time will tell. I mean, we won't know now, but we will see going forward.
Absolutely. Reverend, thank you so much for your time, as always. I love these deep conversations with you.
Rich conversation.
And let's
do it again in 2025.
Well, that's just it. Again and again in 2025. Before we let you go here on the show, let everybody know where they can go to keep up with you, where they can find you for sessions, where they can come to you, because you are out there doing all kinds of work. Let them know where they can keep up with you, find you, all that kind of good stuff.
Thank you for the opportunity to do that. I have a Facebook page, Reverend Michael J. Carter. I have two. Reverend Michael J. Carter is the fan page. Michael J. Carter is the other page. You can reach me at michaeljscarter@gmail.com. And if you email me, we can talk. I do counseling for experiencers and for non-experiencers alike. I have three new Ancient Alien episodes that will air in March. So tune in. I'm just always glad to be here with Chris. And I want to wish you all a merry everything and a happy always. And just have a wonderful celebration and have a wonderful year. Wishing you peace and richest blessings to all of you.
Absolutely. Same to you, Reverend. I love having you on. I love our conversations on and off air privately.
Kindred spirits.
It's one of those, like, when I see things like this happening in the community, it is something that I feel as though we have to address on this show.
Because people
are all too willing to fly down rivers without paddles. And it's hard not to get involved with the fervor. We are all passionate about anybody who has had an experience that led you to this kind of research, or anybody who has researched this for long enough, is a passionate person by definition, Reverend. So we have to keep that paddle. Once again, I am passionately lukewarm is my job. And I know that sounds horrible to those of you of faith, but when you think about it from a scientific and middle of the road point of view, it is what allows me to see the religion and marry it with science and see everything from all points of view, because I'm not extraordinarily hot or cold about any of it. I try to be middle of the road and try to see myself.
And that way you stay objective.
Well, I can dip from the middle of the road and from the warm water, I can feel what the hot or cold feels like immediately.
Yes. Yes.
You know, without being numb to the fact of like, oh no, I need hotter water.
Yeah.
You know, to know that it's hot.
Yes.
I'm just soaking in hot water all the time.
And I think that's what makes you successful.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate it, Reverend. Please do hold the line while we close things out with the audience real quick. While you are online checking out everything from Michael J.S. Carter, everybody make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. Curious Realm is where you can like, follow, subscribe. It's where you can share the episodes. That is where you can also find on curiousrealm.com/videos. That's where you can find all of our embedded video channels, all of the episodes. That's where you can find all of the episodes from our guests' video channels as well. There is all of our guests' YouTubes embedded right there so that you can easily like and follow them as well. Make sure to stop on by Curious Research, either in the Curious Realm store or the Curious Research store. You can get your copy of the Field Observation and Encounter Log. If you are a researcher in the world of paranormal, UFOs, cryptids, things like that, out doing field research, make sure to get your copy. It fits in your back pocket. It is there to help you gather your data in the field in a scientific way so that it is ready to shake hands with science come the day that you need to do so. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in for the last many years. I look forward to an amazing 2025 with everybody. Many more topics like this coming up. Remember, it is your open hearts and your open minds that make the conversation. And without the conversation, humanity does not march forward. So Remember, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. To download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault, or become a sponsor of Curious Realm, visit our website at CuriousRealm.com. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast and video services, CuriousRealm.com, as well as KGRA Radio, APR TV, and the official Curious Realm app for Roku devices. Curious Realm is a proud member of the Ground Zero Media and Aftermath Media family of podcasts. For more great shows and members-only content, visit aftermath.media today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious, and remember, the other side is always watching.